Good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to the Board of Supervisor meeting. The date is December 17, 2013. The time is 6:33. We always start off with the Pledge of Allegiance. I'm going to ask the Mayor of Riverbank, Mayor O'Brien, to please lead us in the pledge. And please stay standing after the Pledge of Allegiance for a moment of silence for retired Deputy Mark Ottoboni from the Stanislaus County Sheriff's Department.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You can be seated. Thank you, Mayor. Okay, now we're going to move on to the public comment period. It's an opportunity for anyone to speak on any item that is not on today's agenda. And please limit your comments to 5 minutes. I have one speaker card, Abby Garcia Bolio. The catch off guard already. How are you?
It's a pleasure to be here again. Is this being recorded?
Yes, televised and recorded.
I am here being grateful of your efforts to help me with regards to the embezzlement of my property by identity theft of former attorney Brian P. Vance from Sonoma County. I am grateful that you sent a caseworker from Adult Protective Services in attention to the need to talk to an attorney. And she was kind enough to pick up the phone and to listen to me, meaning she was kind to listen to me, to my story, but also to pick up the phone and call my ex to let him know that I was not alone. That was the most she could do, but she also explained that she couldn't take care of my, she couldn't help me with my case. I am here to request several things. To please put the foreclosure in your agenda. Please consider that. And you know, attorneys use the language of demand, which is for me very hard to say, but I demand that you do that. It needs to be heard. It's for a public hearing. The second thing is for you to consider to put a referendum on foreclosures during the holidays. And the third petition is, it's a petition of for a civil rights lawsuit. I hand it to Christine, my petition, and it's a notice declaration motion and order emergency relief and preventative injunction for public wrong judgment on record in Stanislaus Superior Court given December 10, 2013 on an unlawful detainer action. My complaint with liabilities is for willful breach and violation of civil rights in UCC, in due process, with bias and prejudice. And because it's based on a fraud, on a robo-signer, and the judgment was given by an unconscionable amount granted under the color of law to a trustee who was not a trustee. It was not a holder of due course. There's adverse possession, and the judgments have dismissed the fact that the Homestead Declaration has exemptions and is to protect the homeowner. And I have conveyed to you and I have shared with my previous documents that I am the homeowner by a settlement and there was a lien to that. So there's boldly a violation to my civil rights and it's there. And the other thing is I am requesting your help so I can file my motions in the Superior Court. I have been jerked around, and that's the word. I called, and they tell me, oh, you need to go to the bailiff and get him scheduled, whatever you need. It's ex parte or any other thing that I need to file. And then they tell me, no, you need to go to the clerk. You know, I'm going to end up being homeless because of the denial of justice that I have found in this court by not being served properly, and I convey that to the judge, by from one minute to the other, the court hearing was changed, so the other judge didn't have any knowledge or evidence of what was going on with my property and who and why they were claiming, and that the non-judicial foreclosure sale, and the judge said, well, you know, they bought it and it's theirs. I said, but wait a minute. When somebody buys a non-judicial foreclosure sale, it's very clear to that person that they are not entitled to possession of the house. They bought the lien. He says, no, it's theirs. And in my exhibits that I will provide tomorrow, it's that judgment included. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Would anyone else like to address the board on anything that's not on today's agenda? Okay, seeing none, we will move on to the consent calendar. We've been asked to pull A7A for comments, or just pull it, I think, just pull it, B4 and B11. So the consent agenda is A1 through 6, B1 through 3, 5 through 10, 12 and 14, C1 and 2, and D1 and 2. Anyone from the audience like to pull any items other than those? Anyone of the board members like to pull any items? Okay. If not, I'll take a motion on those.
So move. Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. We'll take A7 first.
Thank you, Chairman. We received notice that Mr. Troy Steers wishes to have his name withdrawn from consideration. So on 7A, we would ask that you approve just Randy Hill to the Advisory Board on Substance Abuse Programs.
Okay, a motion to approve item 7, but on A with the adjusted to exclude Troy Spears.
Motion to approve.
Second that.
Motion second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries 5-0. Moving on to item B4.
Before, if I could just really quick bug Mr. Boggs here, just to, my only question here is a timeline with regard to when we should have these appointments chosen and have this process kind of rolling along here.
Sure. Thank you, Chairman Chiesa, members of the board, Mr. Risen, Mr. Doran, Keith Boggs, Assistant Executive Officer. Anticipated timeline for the Water Advisory Committee formation, should you approve the structure this evening. Number one, the notice to the public that applications are available will be published this week prior to the holiday furlough, and that will include a posting of the MinSDOB, available online on the county website, available for pickup at the counter with the clerk of the board office. And I do believe, Christine, you have some actual hard copies this evening for anyone who might be interested in taking one. Number two, the application window will remain open through the close of business on Friday, January 24, allowing for the furlough week and the holiday. Staff will review the applicants for the two citizen at-large positions and screen for water knowledge and background. The top five candidates will be shared with the board chairman for recommendation. Board members will be asked to make their appointments during the same approximate four-week window. And to note that each board appointee will also be required to complete the same application template for record-keeping purposes. And then staff will be back no later than February 11 with a ministerial item recommending your initial Stanislaus Water Advisory Committee membership. That's the strategy as of this hour, but okay, we're very flexible.
Okay. Everybody okay with that? I just want to make sure.
I mean, my opinion is as quick as possible,
yeah.
And it sounds like we need to have that application open that long because of the holiday season. I understand that. But as soon after that, that we can get it together and let's bring it forward. Time is of the essence.
Perfect. Thank you, Keith.
You're welcome.
I have two requests to speak on this item. The first one is Vance Kennedy.
Thank you. I'm Vance Kennedy, live at 505 True Tully Road. I'm a small-scale farmer, retired hydrologist. There are major problems with deep well drilling in the foothills, which is causing major environmental damage. Because groundwater moves as much as 100 times or more, easily laterally as vertically underground, a deep well can draw water from thousands of feet laterally, thereby harming neighbors' water supplies. Anyone requesting a large deep well should be required to demonstrate that he's not harming his neighbor before a permit is issued. In other words, an environmental impact report. Unfortunately, it seems as though there's already been harm done, so it seems appropriate to require existing deep, high-capacity well owners to demonstrate that they are not taking their neighbor's groundwater or reimburse their neighbors for damage already done. It will be up to the lawyers, I guess, to decide how to handle that. The point of my presentation here is that there's a large number of deep well applications that are on hand, and that the environmental people in the county should hold off on approving any of those wells until the board has an opportunity to decide the extent to which they're going to require environmental impact reports. Otherwise, it becomes more of a problem with trying to take to require a moratorium, which has been done in San Luis Obispo County under similar circumstances. And that opens up sort of legal problems. The way to address this rapidly, to stop the problem, is simply to require environmental impact reports. And in the process, we will learn a lot of information that otherwise the county would have had to accumulate. And the people who are trying to get the wells would have to do those studies. But in any case, action needs to be taken absolutely as soon as possible to require environmental impact as far as any further efforts are made on drilling wells. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kennedy. Next speaker, Mayor Richard O'Brien. Evening.
Good evening, Chair, Supervisors, staff. I'm very passionate about protecting the water, and you all know that, and I really want to see it go rapidly. In your October move you had with the staff envisioned Stemsluss County Water Advisory Committee would be comprised of 19 voting members, including representatives from Irrigation District, Stemsluss County Farm Bureau, and each of the 9 cities. In the composition that you have before you right now, the cities are excluded but may be appointed. I'd like to have the makeup re-evaluated to include the 9 cities and the others that are deemed necessary for that. If that means doing a verbal change right now, fine. If not, you need to include the 9 cities in that makeup. That's all I need to say tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. And I guess the that's duly noted, but I know the TAC committee, the Technical Advisory Committee, makeup composition was such, and I think it was felt internally that was going to suffice. We needed community stakeholders, which include the cities, which include the irrigation districts, which, if we so choose, in our appointments, farmers, all the stakeholders. So I think I'm still okay, and if anyone has anything different, I'd be willing to listen, but I'm okay with the makeup.
No, I'm fine with the makeup, too, and hopefully through those appointments, a good chunk of the cities will be included, which is what we plan to do.
Okay. Any other folks like to comment on B4? Seeing none, I will entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Motion.
Second.
And a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? 5-0.
Thank you.
Thank you. Item B11. And I have a speaker card from Matt Pettis. Good afternoon. Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Matt Pettis. I'm president of the Stanislaus County Deputy Sheriff's Association. It's
have a couple of brief comments here. The DSA opposes the appointment of a new Sheriff's Department finance manager at the top of the salary band. To offer a new employee a $35,000 raise upon hiring without pay for performance or without any prior county service sends the wrong message regarding the department and the county's priorities. Currently, the Sheriff's Department is experiencing a serious recruitment and retention problem related to the retention and hiring of deputy sheriffs. Newly hired deputy sheriffs start at the bottom of the salary step and are subject to a 5% salary reduction on the day of hire. County current employees have not had raises in recent years and are currently receiving 2005 wages. With no retention incentives being offered, several deputies have left employment with Stanislaus County in recent weeks and more to follow. Solving the retention and recruitment problem would be consistent with the Board of Supervisors' priorities at a safe community, whereas meeting the unfair salary demands of a job candidate would not. Thank you very much.
Appreciate those comments. I thought that this might get some comment going forward. I can just tell you what my thoughts are. And when we went out for recruitment there, and we've talked about it, I've talked to the sheriff about it, and we know what the retention problems are. We're very aware of the retention problems we're having, and hopefully we can deal with that going forward. And this is no different as we're trying to recruit people into the position and find qualified folks. This is what we felt, or this is what the sheriff felt, and I concur with him, that this is what we're going to have to do to get a good business manager in there. And so I'm okay with it as it stands.
I'm just going to echo those thoughts and just to stress the importance of the numbers, because that's what I do. We've got to have a good person in this position that will hopefully help us. And again, we're very much aware of the retention problems, and we're working on that. But it's very important that we have good information to make good decisions to help deal with things just like that. And I know from my private practice how hard it is and how expensive it is now to get accountants. And so I'm comfortable with this, very comfortable with this.
Any other comments? No comments. Entertain a motion.
Motion approved.
Have a motion. I'll second the motion. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? 5-0. Again, thank you. Okay, now we'll move on to the 635 matter, scheduled matter. Public hearing to adopt and waive the second reading of an ordinance amending Chapter 16-55 of the Stanislaus County Code and adopt by reference the California Fire Code, edition 2013. I think this is Chief Skiles. Looking around, you expect you to jump on up.
Thank you.
How are you?
Very well, thank you. Good evening, board members and Mr. Risen, Mr. Doring. This has been a concerted effort to bring before you the 2013 California Fire Code. I want to first off thank Mimi Jackson as well as Mike Payton, both in the audience here, for their efforts in developing this. Every 3 years, the California Building Standards Code publishes a new code, and once they publish it on July 1st, 180 days thereafter, the publication becomes a new standard within California. Counties such as ours and Stanislaus may establish standards reasonable necessary because of specific and local conditions, and that's why we're here with you tonight. Some of the changes between the 2010 and the 2013 code that has been written in and is before you for consideration is that numerically we've restructured a couple of sections. For example, the hazmat chapter has been moved, and also some of the specific access measurements that were in the 2010 code have now been adopted in the 13 code. Therefore, if you were to compare the two, you would not see access specifically listed in there. It's found within the state code at this point in time. Some of the reasons for this to come forward at this time is, number one, timing. For it to be consistent with the California state code processes, and it also makes it compatible with the new model code language and addresses some of our specific local concerns. So before you tonight is your consideration, and it is recommended by staff to adopt by ordinance the California Fire Code 2013 edition with local amendments. Thank you.
Okay. Any questions, staff? If not, I will open up the public hearing. Anyone like to address? Pretty easy. If not, I will close the public hearing, bring it back. My one comment that I'd always talked with Gary about, and I know it's each fire district is in some ways, control of their own destiny. And I know we've always tried to harmonize. This gives us some of that ability, but I like to harmonize down regulations rather than harmonize up. That's just my feeling for business. I'm okay with this.
Motion to approve.
I will second that.
We have a motion. Second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. That was real easy. Correspondence.
This board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
Acknowledge receipt of claims and refer to the Chief Executive Office Risk Management Division. Are there any Board of Supervisor reports?
Yes, there are.
Okay.
Sorry, I laughed. Jack was going to make sure that I didn't forget this. So last week I missed a board meeting, but I was on county business. We went back to Washington, D.C. myself and a group from Turlock and Modesto with regard to recycled water, a project that was actually started by my predecessor and Brad Hahn with regard to what was going on over in Monterey area, Salinas, and it has to do with treated water. And what the plan is, what we hope to do is take tertiary treated water from Modesto and Turlock and put it on farmland. And potentially there could be about 60,000 acre feet of water that we have here available. And at this point, kind of the pilot project that we're looking at is to get money to put a pipeline over to the west side to get into Del Porto Water District and have the water used there. It was received very well in Washington. Anytime you talk about recycled water, it's good. And actually, the model that we have is really just a cash flow problem that we have that we need money for, because this thing pays for itself. The water becomes, it's new water, we have a beneficial use for it. The Florida Water District will pay for this water, which will ultimately pay for the system that we need to put in. So we're really just looking for funds, low interest rate money to get this thing going, and it will pay for itself and pay that loan back. So that's just the beginning of it. We had good conversations with both Senator Feinstein and Senator Boxer's office, and also with our Representative Denham and Jim Costa. And so, again, this is just the beginning, and we hope from here we could potentially move this to find additional water through the other cities and possibly someday, and during, just like we talked about with our groundwater advisory committee, we would hopefully have additional water that we could maybe send east and help to replenish the aquifers on the east side and help solve that problem too. So it's a great thing. It has all kinds of potential, and this is just the first phase of it, and we're hoping we can continue to garner support and get this thing going.
Thank you. Good work. And that's a completely excused absence, so don't tell people that you missed the meeting.
That's
great work you did. Any other Board of Supervisors reports? I would like to thank Joe Alamo, Turlock Irrigation District Director, who probably has better things to do at nighttime than be here with us, for showing up and listening to the agenda. We know that it's important, and we're glad that you're here. Also, this is my last meeting as Chair of the Board, starting January 7th. Supervisor DeMartini will be taking over as Chair. Supervisor Withrow will be taking over, so we'll do some musical chairs. It's been an absolute pleasure. It's amazing how much knowledge you gain when you're chairman, and that I didn't know before, and I think, Terry, you'll be really excited moving up. It's been wonderful working with you guys and the staff, because you always work closer, and I do appreciate it, and so just thank you. So with that, if there's nothing else for the good of the order, this meeting is adjourned. Oh, did I forget something? Ledge, oh, geez.
You can
back in session.
Remain
No, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
So this happens every single meeting for what it's worth.
I figure by now he'd know.
Well, now that you've reopened it, I'll have to say something.
So, hey, just real quick, just let you know, a panel of federal judges, the state received an extension on their order to reduce the prison population. They have till April 18th now, 2014. And in a very historic move, for the first time since 1997, Congress is on the verge of passing a complete budget bill if it goes to the Senate tomorrow on a very bipartisan vote. So we'll be watching that. What it does mean for us is that they would be, instead of the sequestration cuts, they're going to be looking at doing some specified spending cuts, coupled with some non-tax revenues. So we'll be watching to see what happens there. And with that, I'll end my report.
And I'll apologize for the 16th time for doing that. All right. Meeting is adjourned.